Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel once again. And in this video, I have to say an unfortunate requiescat in pace to Father David Forrester, who died, my goodness, about a week ago. I think it was on Friday I found out. A lovely, lovely chap, a Christian in the absolute best sense of the word, and he will be sorely missed. What a magnificent man. And I'm very sad that I lost contact with him years ago. I was last in email contact with him in 2007. Then in 2013, I lost contact, lost access to that email account. What was his email address? I have tried over the past few years. I've written to Archbishop's House. Where is he? To Eton, where he used to be chaplain. I can't think as to the Catholic Herald, because I saw he published an article a few years ago. And then people told me he was living in a nursing home in the Lake District. Well, that's very, very far away from where I live. But so that is him. He's been called to his reward at the age of 89. Someone who went to the church for all the right reasons, not out of vanity or particularly because he was censorious or anything like that, and was openly critical of certainly of the Catholic Church the way it used to be in the past. So I remember he came and preached at school when I was in D block, as in when I was sort of 16, and then moving into C block, that's like lower sixth. That's when he actually became chaplain with the previous chaplain, Father Peter Knott. Retired, Father Peter Knott, who died in 2018. So at the age of 95 or something like that. So it obviously turns out that Father Forrester was born in 1934. I didn't know quite when he was born. I do recall in one of his earlier homilies, him reflecting that his elder brother had been killed in Italy in the Second World War. And he visited Italy many years later. He visited his elder brother's grave. So he went to the Duke of York School of Military School in Kent, and only a handful of them wanted to go to university, and the headmaster said, you shall receive no help from us whatsoever, we just don't do that, you become army officers. And in the course of those days, the 1950s, in the British Army, they mostly went to Sandhurst or Woolwich, one of those military academies. They didn't go to university. But anyway, he must have done national service based on his age, but he never mentioned that. So that's as in compulsory service in His Majesty's Armed Forces, or Her Majesty's Armed Forces, as it became. And then he went to Oxford University, to Keble. He's brought up an Anglican, was quite conventional, and he converted to Catholicism. Why did he cross the Tiber? I recall him saying to me that he wanted a seven-day-a-week religion, not like a one-day-a-week religion. And then he did a DPhil, so sort of outstanding academically. He's a very short chap, must have been sort of 5'5" or something, and was a cox, as in steering a rowing boat. He was much too small to actually be an oarsman himself. And then he decided he wanted to be a Catholic priest, so not just a layman, and he went off to Rome. I'm not sure, is it the Venerabile or the English College in Rome? And then he said he was fed up with what Rosen had his bags packed, was going to walk out, but was dissuaded and actually stayed, and obviously was ordained. He was ordained in Portsmouth in about 1972. And he told some harrowing tales about being summoned to the deathbed of a teenager, and this teenage boy had no one. I mean, the mother or father, they were either dead or completely abandoned him. He had no relatives. And Father Forrester was just about the only mourner at this funeral he had to perform of an adolescent. So he went through an awful lot. Remember, he'd recall being sort of spat on the street by people who despised him for being a priest and so on. Well, he was a very good and kind person. He had affability as well. And he was supportive to me at difficult times in my life. Obviously, adolescence is seldom easy, but my own one, I think, was egregiously difficult. I mean, not so much in the material sense. Teaching me A-level history as well, and setting out notes, and saying things that I remember to this day, that the most important question about any historical figure is what makes him tick. What motivates him? Does he want to expand his borders? Does he want to further an ideology or something like that, or to maintain the status quo? And it really is a very valid question. What makes him tick or her tick? Really about anyone, not just a politician or a ruler, about people you know. What motivates this person? He or she is trying to achieve this, or wants to hear them praise to themselves, praise for whatever, or just wants to avoid the limelight, or he or she wants to make his or her parents happy, and so forth. Remember him producing a fact file about it, a fictional character, political affiliation, previously Conservative, now New Labour. It was the heydays of New Labour and things like that. I can't remember which French king he said was a loquacious liar, or telling us how Louis XVI was an amateur locksmith and no good with people. What else did he tell us that was so scintillating? It told us a bit first about Hungarian nationalism. I hadn't known very much about Kossuth Lajos and so forth at that time. goodness and saying that we were adults who had to give little presentations in class. I was in a not very bright class at that stage. And then him giving homilies all the time and inviting some boys back to his flat afterwards. And, you know, it was quite modest. I remember he'd been chaplain of Oxford University beforehand, and he happened to be invited down to say Mass one Sunday at school. And then he was called in to speak to whichever person, the lower master, for a chat. But then Father Forrester said he realised that really it was a job interview, even though he hadn't applied for a job, nor had one even been advertised, and was more or less talked into taking the position. But he did a minimal amount of teaching. But he was a really delightful person, and would have been a good father in the biological sense, as well as in the ecclesiastical one. And so I remember when some South African chap whom he'd known at Oxford, young man, came to stay with him in Eton, and there was a sofa. And Father Forrester was very keen to say to us, he slept here last night. It hadn't occurred to me he slept anywhere else. Just in case we thought there was some sort of gay relationship between him going on in this man in his 20s, no. He was faintly camp, but he didn't seem to have any sexuality like that. But he used to take the mick out of other priests about a Texan priest and so on, or talk about a joke he told in Texas about people dying at the Alamo. They can see why they die for liberty or whatever, but why on earth would they die for Texas? And the longest second in his life before actually people began to laugh, didn't know which way it was going to go. Or about meeting a Ugandan woman one time whose smile made it seem as though she could get anything in the world just by that smile, and him telling her, well, it's really bad because I'm divorced into Uganda. That makes me a total outlaw, outcast. And then she said, well, there's even more bad news that I became pregnant. I had an abortion. And then she said, and I'm HIV positive. Anyway, so then he went and didn't know what to say. Oh, dear. And then he hugged her and he said, no one's hugged me for a year or something like that. Wow. So he was able to comfort people in very, very difficult situations, but tell us all sorts of anecdotes. And sometimes he would have me read from the Bible at Mass. I remember one time when I'd turned against religion, putting sarcastic emphasis and reading it in as silly a manner as possible. He never once chided me for it. I remember when I was intensely religious, though, him looking around the room saying, how many of us can say that we've say our prayers every day, things like that? And I would think, well, I can actually. I do, actually. At that stage of my life, I was completely observant. So that's him. He stayed on to 2004. I went back to visit him just before he retired. But then went to Weldingham School, where he was a chaplain solely in the religious sense, had no pedagogical duties, a girls' school in southern England, a bit south of London, and then completely retired. I don't know why I went up to the Lake District. So that was Father Forrester. And then I found out, you know, subsequently to his death, that he published a book, Led by a Thread, about his call to Jesus Christ. And I bumped him at school 10 years ago, and he'd lost his affect, his voice, saying, I know you, but I can't think of your name. And he was a shadow of himself, for myself. What a lovely, good, giving, deserving person. What a loss he is to humanity. How he affirms my faith in the human race, because so often I'm disappointed. There are all sorts of loathsome and vile people around, but he was just angelic. So I'm very sad I couldn't be with him, that I couldn't express my gratitude to him. I used to write to him every year, and he's gone forever now. And I can never express to him how glad I was to know him, how much he meant to me at difficult times in my life, what an immensely powerful support he was when I desperately needed one. But maybe I have some inner satisfaction of knowing that he did good. So that is Father David Forrester.